Many of us will head to the airport today or tomorrow or out to the mall for the sales on Friday, and we'll be sure to encounter a lot of other people doing the same thing, which means, of course, waiting on a lot of long lines. Queuing up can be boring and annoying. MIT Professor Dick Larson says it can even lead to queue rage. Seriously. Professor Larson has been dubbed Dr. Q for the 30 years he spent studying the psychology of waiting online. He's done experiments in banks and supermarkets and amusement parks and works on ways to make that interminable wait seem shorter or even fun. What do you do to make waiting online more bearable? Tell us your line story. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Dick Larson is a professor of engineering systems and civil and environmental engineering at MIT with us today from their studios in Cambridge. Dick, or should I say Dr. Q, nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
And Q rage, really?
Well, it can happen. It can happen. First of all, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Were you born in New York City?
Well, no, but I lived in New York, in and around New York most of my life.
Okay, because only New Yorkers say standing online. Everyone else in the country says standing in line.
We're waiting for them to catch up.
Yeah, queue rage can happen particularly when it's violation of first come, first serve, or what people think is fairness. So that if somebody gets served before you, but you've been standing in line longer than they have, that can lead to even violence in some cases.
Really? I mean, I know that people, almost anything can trigger violence, it seems, in some people, but that seems, remarkably petty.
Do you want to know a case example, for instance?
Sure.
Yeah, well, there was a case of in Milwaukee. This was about 9 or 10 years ago, where a woman had about a week's worth of family groceries, and she was in, let's say, aisle 11, which is a regular aisle, but aisle 12 was empty, and it was for express checkout only.
10 items or fewer or whatever?
10 items or fewer, yeah. And she was beckoned over there by the server. Said, come on over here. I'll check out your $150, $200 worth of groceries because there's nobody here at the moment. And this woman was standing in a longer line. It would have taken her a long time. So she goes over there, and guess what happens? Just a few moments later, somebody with like 6 items shows up and gets furious because they say, well, how could you be in this line? This is for 10 items or less. And a big ruckus occurs and shouting and screaming. Eventually, the woman with the week's worth of groceries leaves. The woman with 6 items quickly gets processed and leaves, follows the first one out in the parking lot, takes out a hunting knife, and chops off half her nose.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's an example of queue rage. And I have other examples in my files of people who pulled guns on other people in Florida and stuff like this. So well, it really can happen.
A lot of it, and I've just been reading some of your articles, but a lot of it seems to be connected where people, you're in parallel lines and somebody else seems to be getting ahead faster.
That's right. And it can happen in drugstores. It can happen in maybe a fast food restaurant. But a lot of these service industries over the past 20 years have invented what they call the single serpentine line. Mm. Wendy's invented it in fast foods. A certain New York City banks invented it for banking. American Airlines takes credit for it in the airline industry. And with a single serpentine line, you have this idea of enforced fairness because first come, first serve, and that's the way it works. And a lot of times it isn't the actual duration of the wait that is so important to you. It's psychologically. It's this stress that somebody who arrives after you may, in a sense, slip before you and get service before you get served. And that happens more frequently than you might think.
That feeling of outrage, this is unfair, and, of course, you've got plenty of time to let it stew.
Right. So the person who slips in front of you, they may not even realize that they're a little bit out of turn because the store hasn't really taken this into consideration. But it might be something that you remember. And a lot of my students, I ask them about these things, and I say, well, has there been an event in your life? And these are students who are like 25 and younger, so they haven't, you know, been out that long. I say, is there an event in your life, in a retail establishment or a fast food or something, that has been so outrageous in terms of queuing that you made a lifetime pledge never, ever to go back there again? And more than half the class always raises their hand.
Hmm. Really?
And I bet many of your listeners, have a similar experience.
They've vowed never to go back, and yet stores have not really looked into this.
Right. In fact, that's how I personally got involved with the psychology of queuing, because I used to look only at the physics and the mathematics of queuing, which is more traditional MIT engineering.
Sure.
And I had an event like that, which was so terrible psychologically. I was mad 3 weeks after it happened that I said, well, wait a minute. I'm an MIT faculty member. I'm not supposed to be so irrational. So maybe other people have feelings like this, too, when they have these kinds of service encounters. And I wrote a research proposal to NSF and got funded on it, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. You had to wait online for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then and did some serious research on this.
NSF, of course, the National Science Foundation. We're talking with Dr. Q, Dick Larson at MIT. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. What do you do to make the wait, that interminable wait, seem a little bit shorter? Let's see if we can go to Tom. Tom's with us from Long Island.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
When I'm online, especially in an airport, I usually just strike up a conversation with somebody. They're in the same fix I am, so we might as well pass the time doing something. And you usually find out something really interesting about the person, or you find that you have something in common. And before long, you know, you're at the front of the line, and it's done. And I don't know, just sort of a habit that my wife and I, we both do it.
So you turn this into an opportunity, and Dick Larson, that a lot of people take that technique.
I think that's a great thing to do. In fact, I would advocate that rather than pulling out your wireless device and checking your email, have a human interaction.
And certainly over pulling out your hunting knife.
In fact, there's a senior day in certain places in South Florida where usually it's Wednesday, that they announce a 10% discount for seniors in various places, various retail establishments. And I've been told that the seniors kind of get dressed up and view this as a social occasion because they do exactly what Tom suggested. They go and actually enjoy these lines because it's an opportunity to meet other seniors in their community.
And Tom, it slipped right past me. Do you stand in line or online?
Well, we're in line, I guess. Where I live, you have to get on a ferry boat to get there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things get pretty testy online, I guess you could say. People, they look at a boat line and they wonder if they're going to get on. And people they bust in the line. And then sometimes there's, words exchanged. And that can be entertaining at times as well.
I bet, Tom. Oh, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Here's a couple of emails that we have. This from Jim. Bring something to read wherever you go. Good for your mind and makes the queue feel shorter. And that's a good piece of advice. And newspapers are good for that, too. And this from Nicole in Boise. I know it seems silly, but just swaying back and forth in lines really keeps me calm. Someone told me this when my kids were very little, and it does work. Trying to put it in perspective and not be in a rush also helps. So the philosophical approach there.
That's a new one for me. That's a great idea. I'll try it next time.
Let's see if we go next to Brittany. Brittany calling from San Francisco.
Yes. Immediately when I heard this topic, I thought of a time when I was a senior in high school. We did a trip that a lot of seniors do here in California, where everyone goes and stays all night in Disneyland. And, of course, the lines in Disneyland are notoriously long. And it's even worse when there's just loads of high school seniors everywhere. So what my friends and I ended up doing is using the camera we had with us to take silly pictures. And we were in line for about 45 minutes. And in the end, taking all those silly pictures ended up being more fun than the ride itself.
I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the Matterhorn or wherever it was you were lining
up. It was the haunted house ride where you appear to be going down an elevator when you're actually not. So it was kind of a young ride anyway, but yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Brittany, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it. You write that, in fact, Disney is one of the great engineers of the modern line.
They are. I think Disneyland and Anaheim opened around 1955 or so. Is that right?
And I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I view that as the birth year of the psychology of queuing. The mathematics of queuing goes back to about 1910 or so. And the Disney company has really been superb at figuring out how to distract people, maybe not Brittany and her friends, but a lot of people. So if they let's say they're going to join a line that's going to be 45 minutes, well, oftentimes Disney will have a sign out that says if the line is out to here, it'll be anticipate a 60-minute wait. And whereas Disney knows it'll be a 45-minute wait. And then when you get there, you look at your watch. This is one reason I don't wear a watch myself.
Mm-hmm.
and the father or the mother can say to the kids, hey, look, we're 15 minutes ahead of schedule. So instead of you know, thinking that, well, I just spent 45 minutes in a line. You saved 15 minutes. Your expectation was 60 minutes, and it only took 45 minutes. And usually in that line channel, you have all kinds of distractions and pictures and amusements that you actually think the amusement has already started.
They do that. They've incorporated that at Universal and some of the other amusement parks, too. So
that's right. That's right.
They're ready to steal any ideas that work. Let's talk with Spencer. Spencer with us from Salt Lake City.
Hi. So I was in France at Disneyland in Paris. And
Euro
I go
Disney.
To Disneyland. We go to Disneyland in California all the time. And there was this huge difference in how people in Disneyland Paris waited in line. They would, anytime the line would expand where more than one person was standing, they would slip around you. They would get in front of you. And all of a sudden, the people who were three behind us were in front of us, and they didn't seem to have any problem with it. And this happened at the Eiffel Tower as well. And in America, I just can't imagine anybody thinking they could slip around you in a line
and live. Yeah, and yeah. I lived in England for quite a while, and they have great respect for queues in England.
Mm. Well, I should go there then when they get a Disneyland.
or Tokyo, when they're Shanghai, or
sure,
wherever they're going to build the next one. Have you had that experience, Dick?
Yeah, I think Spencer noticed something very interesting, and that what we've seen is that the behavior of people in a queue is like a microcosm of the broader society from which these people are brought. And you say that in England, they're very first come, first serve. I love queuing in British because the second E is there. It's Q-U-E-U-E-I-N-G. It's the only word I know that has five vowels in a row, so that's the way I spell it here, mm-hmm. even though Microsoft doesn't like it. But in Britain, as you say, they would be first come, first serve. In Washington, D.C., the government workers queue up on the sidewalk waiting for their bus, first come, first serve, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 4:30 or whatever. But if you get down in Europe, as you get closer to the Mediterranean, it's more survival of the fittest and lack of attention to first come, first serve. And sometimes this can lead to queue rage when you have this clash of cultures at the same place. For instance, ski lift lines in Switzerland, where you get people from Southern Europe and Northern Europe standing in the same line. Half of them think first come, first serve is the only way, and the other half think, oh, wherever I can squeeze in, that's where I'm going to squeeze in. And that can cause a lot of difficulty.
We're talking with Dr. Q. Dick Larson, a professor of engineering systems and civil and environmental engineering at MIT. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Lauren. Lauren with us in Portland, in Oregon.
Hi. I have little kids, and I wait in a lot of lines, and I always have my knitting with me. I have a ball of yarn in my pocket or my purse, and I knit in line.
You knit in line, and that seems like a, easy, portable thing to do.
It is, and I don't get as sucked in as I do to a book or a magazine where I lose track of where the line's going, so
uh-huh.
It's easier to knit and pay attention to my surroundings.
All right, there's an idea. Do you find knitting works, Dick Larson?
Well, I have to say I haven't tried it myself, but I do know some women who, including some top executives at IBM and other places, who even in board meetings will do knitting. So maybe that's how to be not bored at a board meeting, is to do the knitting.
Thanks very much, Lauren.
Thank you.
Here's an email from Sally. At a busy restaurant in Marlboro, they had hired a mime to entertain the people waiting. We were eating and watched the mime remove a hairpiece off the head of a waiting man without his even knowing it. This man was gracious about it, but everyone in line and those of us who could see the line were all entertained and no one seemed to mind waiting. Well, maybe it was a setup. It's possible. But
I hope it was a setup.
In other words, in another context, it's called a pickpocket. Anyway, this is from Bruce. While trying to get counter service at a Chinese bakery, other customers kept pushing past me. I was later told this is a cultural thing. Not all societies form lines, so that would fall into that same category.
That's right. The lines in China are non-existent in many places.
Let's see if we go next to Dan. Dan with us from San Diego.
Hi, yeah. I was wondering, I'm a traffic engineer, and a lot of times we talk about queuing in traffic. I was wondering if your guest's research extended into waiting in line in a car.
Aha! Couldn't they get that serpentine line before the toll booth? That's what I want to know. Anyway,
that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, some back-of-the-envelope calculations we've done suggest that commuters who commute in their cars for most of their professional lives probably spend more time in those lines than all the other lines where they're physically standing. Because if you commute in rush hour, the traffic congestion and the delays can cost 20, 30, 40, 60 minutes of delays. And if you add that up over a 30 or 40 year career, that could actually be one or two waking years of your life. The other thing is with in traffic, the queue rage can convert to road rage, where suppose you have two lanes that are merging, and you know the unwritten rule is alternate feed, first the right, then the left, then the right and the left. And if somebody tries to sneak in, like we heard from a previous caller, that can lead to road rage and often sometimes violence.
Well, Dan, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Let's see if we can go, we could get one more in. This is Chris in Salem, Oregon.
Hi. I just wanted to say two things. The first thing is, in line, normally anyone in my generation, we've got our iPhones or Droids or Google-powered phones, and we're just doing our Facebooks and, you know, just checking, so it doesn't seem like much of a wait for us. And the second thing is that I do in line is, well, wait. We are a nation and a country of just running around, picking up the kids, dropping off the kids, going to work, back and forth, and just rush, rush, rush. And that 5 minutes in the line right there of just standing there might be your most calm moment of your day.
So use it for a little meditation, or if you probably can't get all the way in, but at least use the opportunity. Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Dick Larson, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Neil, and I wish all your listeners a very happy Thanksgiving.
And you too. Dick Larson is a professor at MIT and studies the psychology and science of waiting in line. He joined us from the studios at MIT. Tomorrow, we'll continue our conversations on road safety with a conversation with truckers, plus Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson joins us. What is your best comeback? You can email us now, talk@npr.org. And yes, I will take that cough home and straight to bed. Thank you very much. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.